When James and John came to Jesus and said, "We want to sit on your right hand and on your left in your glorious kingdom," Jesus in no way made them feel like that was a bad desire. Wanting to sit close to Jesus in his glory is natural. It's human. But what did Jesus say? He said, "It is not for me to make that decision because each chair is being prepared by the Father." So each chair and the person that's going to sit in that chair forever is being prepared, sanctified. Many of them are already in the glory, their spirit. And when their bodies and their spirits join together, they're going to sit on a seat that they've been prepared to sit on in his kingdom, his reign on the earth. Now, ponder that fully. If you're going to reign with Christ on this earth, and everything you're doing today and in your life is part of that preparation process, if you're a servant, if you've gone through the fire of testing, if you've lost stuff, if people abandon you, if you suffer for being a man of God because people think you're crazy or radical, if you've walked away from family, friends, because you can't operate in their system religiously, and God calls you and you listen, like Jesus called me out of my church I was raised in. I knew it was Jesus. For the first time, I felt like I heard his voice. And he called me to follow him for what? Training. Retraining. Redoing my whole understanding of who he is. Reteaching me his holy word. So all of that stuff, now at 62 years old, I've been through over the last 20 plus years, is to prepare me for a throne. Fact. That's not being humble. I mean, I'm not being prideful. The disciples were told to be slave of all in that context. If they want to sit on the right and the left, then be a servant of all. Let other people be blessed and you wait. You learn how to be a wait person, trust person, a lean on me person. Let other people get the stuff and enter as a child. Just trust me, like a little child. All of that is how we subvert our religious mind, our world-based mind, based on hard work and achievement through goal setting and doing all this mental stuff. If you're that kind of person, wired that way, they're very determined, goal-oriented, all that, you're going to have to be broken to sit on the throne next to Jesus or close to Jesus or within the range of Jesus, because there's a lot of people sitting on thrones. But if you want to get really close, you got to be put down. You have to eat dirt. You have to be isolated. You have to be alone with God. You have to hear his voice. You have to learn his ways. You have to see Jesus in all manner of his work. The stuff that people don't focus on, just in the reading of the text of the gospel, how his disciples resisted him going to Jerusalem, and they were his disciples. He's training them, he's loving them, he's teaching them, he just pours into them, but they don't understand, and he keeps moving forward, pulling along these guys, these anchors, basically. And then Peter, of all of them, the most loyal, theoretically, the most verbal, the one he's going to build his church on, his confession, not his personhood, his confession that he is the Christ, that one denies him three times when he needs him the most, falls asleep while he's praying in the garden. The Jesus of Scripture that endured the scourging, the flogging, the spitting, the mocking, the absolute cruelty, the crown of thorns, which was like a helmet, blood pouring down his face, the nails in his hands and feet. is the Jesus we see and feel and know. Because the disciples saw that with their own physical eyes. They studied it. And then they knew, because Jesus says, if you want to sit on my right hand or my left, you have to be baptized in the same baptism, immersion of what I'm being baptized in, which is fire, tribulation, hardship, pain, setback, ridicule, physical torture, and then carrying your cross on top of a back that's wide open, his flesh pulled away, his spine exposed. In the heat of the day, he's carrying his cross. How did he endure that as a human being? He should be dead. That's the baptism he was talking about to his disciples. If you want to sit on my right hand and my left, then go through. And then he even prophesies and says, you will go through this. And they did. Thrown in jail, beaten, stoned, falling out of windows, and all the stuff that the apostles went through. We don't understand it because we don't dwell on it. Until you sit and park on ideas that show you the historical people and the historical way. Yes, you literally have to ask God to show you the first century church. You have to separate from the technology of our time, the way we process information, the way we're taught, and you have to go back. That's what I've done for now, over 20 years. I wanted to restore first century Christianity. That was all I said 24 years ago. I want to go back to first century stuff, truth, doctrines, understanding. Well, it's been a process of unlearning and coming into newness of thought. That's sanctification. That's learning through fire. That's being immersed in the Spirit. That's walking with God.